And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Light from the Darkness, was written by Sylvia Berger. It is the 11th in a series of 15 outstanding programs, originally presented on The Eternal Light and recreated now to mark The Eternal Light's 15th year of broadcasting.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was unformed and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, before we go into the story, before we start at the beginning and go wandering through the middle and bring you to the end that is not an end, but a beginning, we want you to promise yourself that you're not going to cry. You're not going to cry. You're not going to put your face in your hands. Your throat isn't going to get bitter with tears. Because the light came of the darkness, sound of silence, and the void took form. In the state of Massachusetts, in the county Essex, lies the little hamlet of Tewkesbury. Now, the year 1876, when Tewkesbury came into this story, it was a sweet place to live, washed head and foot by two murmuring rivers, scented in the spring by blossoming fruit trees, comforted in the summer by ripening harvests. Gentle and quiet and peaceful it was. And many an evening when the stars wheeled and circled in the limpid Tewkesbury sky, Tewkesbury prayers by the hundred went winging over the Tewkesbury chimneys.
Help me, dear Lord, to learn patience, humility, and compassion for those who do not live in Tewkesbury.
But there was one set of gentry in Tewkesbury, too insignificant to mention, since they were neither householders nor taxpayers nor hewers of wood, who sent no prayers of praise winging into their small portion of the sky. And these could be found in the Tewkesbury State Hospital, more accurately known then as the Tewkesbury Poorhouse.
I only wish my mother had never set eyes on my father.
Now to this house of charity came two new guests, arriving on a winter afternoon in the big black hack lovingly called the Black Maria. These were hurried at once to have their names recorded in the Tewkesbury Book of Charities, the name of the first being
Annie Sullivan,
who was 10 years old and damaged like a bruised fruit is damaged, or a doll when a child has pulled out an arm or a blue china eye. For over Annie's young eyes there lay a gray film, so that of a man's face she saw only the circle of his head, none of his features, his nose, or his eyes, but only the circle of his head and the blur of his body. Now the second guest that afternoon was
James Sullivan,
the girl's brother. And he too was damaged, the child bones in his body aching with an old man's weariness. And their mother was dead, and no one had been found who wanted them, not an uncle or an aunt or their own father. And so Annie Sullivan and her brother Jimmy were planted to grow in the Tewkesbury Poorhouse. And here they were, like twisted vines in a dying garden.
Oh, Potatoes, they grow small over there. Oh, potatoes.
Look at the picture, Annie. Look at the pretty picture.
What's it show, Jimmy?
A lady with a pink umbrella. She's laughing. She looks happy about something, all right.
Let me cut her out.
No. Last time you cut out a picture, you cut off the head.
I didn't see where the head was, Jimmy.
I'll cut her out.
We'll paste her up near the picture of the house with the lilac bush. That'll mean she lives there, see?
Are we living with her, Annie?
She's our aunt, and she gives us everything we want.
She likes us, doesn't she, Annie?
Is that you, Annie?
It's me, Granny Maggie.
Don't answer her, Annie. She always wants to know if it's you.
She wants somebody to talk to.
It's me and Jimmy, Granny Maggie. We're playing with a picture magazine.
Oh, Jimmy, is that you?
It's me.
It's nice to see a family together. You know why I'm here, Annie.
There she goes again.
Your son got married, and his wife threw you out of the house.
She didn't like me. I coughed too much, and her good china plate fell out of my hand and broke. Just wasn't any use around. She didn't get married to take care of a helpless old woman. But I wasn't so helpless, Annie. She needn't let me touch her china, but I could have swept up and all. Didn't have to have me put away with the loonies. I don't do no harm, Annie.
You don't do no harm?
Well, anyway, my son kissed me goodbye.
Come on, Annie. Let's go paste up the pictures before she starts again.
I could have stayed in the attic upstairs. I wouldn't have been no trouble. Didn't as if I ate so much. You see how much I eat, Annie. I don't eat so much.
You don't eat so much?
Come on, Annie, let's play.
Oh, potatoes, they grow small over.
I don't feel like playing anymore, Jimmy. You play alone. I don't feel like playing anymore.
What's the matter, Annie? Why don't you want to play anymore? What did you just see? What did you just hear that has blotted out the daydream of the house with the lilac bush?
I think I'll go and talk to Clara.
Why do you want to talk to Clara, Annie? What are you looking for? What are you listening for? What do you want to be told, Annie? What can Clara tell you?
I hope he dies. I hope he dies. I hope you die, you hear me, you liar, you liar! Wherever you are, I hope you die!
You shouldn't have gone to her today, Annie. This is one of Clara's bad days again. This is the day for her to remember wrongs forgotten, confidence betrayed, young days gone forever. This is her day to curse and mourn. Who will talk to you, Annie? Isn't there anyone at all who will talk to you?
You want to play Mumble Dee Peg, Annie?
Jimmy will talk to you, Annie. Jimmy loves you. Jimmy's past is your past. He remembers what you remember. The warm times, the good times, the times you had a mother.
Let's play remembering, Jimmy.
All right, I remember.
Let's remember about Mama.
I remember Mama combed my hair.
I remember Mama drinking tea.
I remember Mama tied my shoes.
Bones, children. Bones, children.
I don't remember that.
Oh, Jimmy, you do. Don't you remember Mama saying bones, children?
I don't remember.
You do, Jimmy.
Mama was at the table. We were eating soup. Mama said, there's little bones in the soup, children. Little teensy bones.
Bones, children. Bones, children.
Oh, Jimmy, remember.
I remember.
The world's all warm and good again, isn't it, Annie? Jimmy remembers, and you're not alone. You are not like Clara, not like Granny Maggie. You have a brother. You have a friend. Morning and evening, you have a friend.
Good night, Jimmy.
The world's all good again. But someone should have warned you. Someone should have told you. Granny Maggie, your dying mother, Clara with the wounded heart. They should have warned you that the life of man is more fragile than the autumn leaf, shorter than the flickering match, quicker than the blaze of daylight between two dark tunnels.
He was took in the night, Annie.
What is she saying, Annie?
They took him out about 4 in the morning. It was I who heard him call out something, Annie. I don't think it was your name, though.
Why do you stand there staring at her, Annie? Can't you understand what she's saying?
They took him into the little dead house, Annie. He's better off, Annie. I'm telling you, he's better off.
She's telling you, Annie, he's better off. Can't you understand? Can't you understand, Annie?
Jimmy! Jimmy! Jimmy!
Now, Annie, now, it won't do any good, Annie. He's better off.
Jimmy!
He's better
Jimmy,
off.
Jimmy! Let me into him, mister. Please let me into him.
You have to control yourself, Annie. There's nothing anyone can do anymore.
Me! Jimmy!
You're disturbing the other patients,
please,
Annie.
Please, let me see him. Please, let me see him.
You can't go in to see him this way, Annie. You've got to get dressed properly. I'll let you see him if you get dressed first.
Hurry, Annie. Hurry and get dressed. Granny Maggie will help you.
The other arm, Annie.
Clara will lace your shoes.
Don't shake so, Annie.
They've dressed you in your calico dress. They've laced the shoes around your feet.
You didn't wash your face, Annie. Look at you. Go back and wash your face and hands. And comb your hair.
And comb your hair. For the last goodbye. For the final look at your brother. Your friend.
If I let you in, Annie, you promise you'll behave yourself?
I'll behave myself.
You'll be good?
I'll be good.
They have taken your hand. They have opened the door. They are seating you in a chair beside a bed. They are lifting the sheet from his little round face.
Jimmy.
Your arms are around him now. You are kissing, kissing, kissing the dear little face. The dearest in the world. The only one in all the world you ever loved.
Come away now, Annie. You can see him again after breakfast.
And you are torn away. You are led away, Annie. And all the world grows faint around you. Your feet stumble. Your hands are limp. And then a voice. A voice to tell you it's only a dream.
You can go into the yard today, Annie, if you want to pick some lilacs for your brother's grave.
Now you are one of them, Annie. The lost, the unwanted, the cast aside. Now the poorhouse walls are a prison. Now night is a torment and day unending. Now you wander with the others from ward to ward. You shuffle with the others from room to room. You lurk around the windows. You stand lost before the doors. And you bang your fists upon the walls. You are trapped. You are trapped. To meet today. Come on, here's the book.
Tell me, Annie.
I already told you, Tilly. You promised you'd read to me after I told you, and I told you. Now, come on, page 375.
Tell me, Annie.
All right, but this is the last time, and then you read to me. Oh, I shouldn't bother with you, always breaking your promises and all. If it wasn't that you're the only one who can read, if I could see, I'd learn to read myself. You see if I wouldn't.
Tell me, Annie.
We'll escape in the middle of the night. We'll go into a kitchen and get us a knife.
A large butcher knife.
A large butcher knife. And we'll hide it in our clothing just in case. And then we'll wait.
We'll wait until a dark night comes and the moon is covered over with a cloud and there's no stars in the sky.
And everybody will be fast asleep.
And everybody will be fast asleep. And we'll sneak up to the door and the watchman will be sleeping.
Tim, the watchman will be sleeping.
Yes, and we'll steal the keys from off in his belt and unlock the door and get away. Now, we've planned our escape. Now you have to read to me. Page 375.
375. Page 1, page 2, page 3.
You're not going to count them one at a time, Tilly. Read the numbers, Tilly, please.
I think I'll go and pack my handkerchief.
There's lots of time to pack your handkerchief, Tilly. You said you'd read if I helped you escape. Now, come on.
I can't.
Why can't you?
Because I've got to go and pack my handkerchief.
You are trapped, Danny. And you want to get away, but not with a knife like Crazy Tilly. Not through death like Granny Maggie. The trap is bigger than the poorhouse, but not too big for life.
I want to go to school.
School? School, lately all you've been talking about is school. What'll you learn at school that you don't know now, huh?
I want to learn to read.
You can't learn to read, Annie. You can't see.
I want to go to school.
There's nothing willed on earth that's not willed in heaven. Our life is the Lord's and death's.
I'm going to go to school. I'm going to learn to read.
The mother bird teaches her young to fly. A cow leads the calf to the grass in the pasture. But who teaches you, Annie? Who leads you?
There they are, Annie. The investigators. Now's your chance.
What are they investigating?
It don't matter. They're always investigating poorhouses. It don't make any difference. I'm telling you, if you ever want to get out of here, the name is Sanborn.
But I can't see witches, Mr. Sanborn.
It don't matter. Just go up to him and say, Mr. Sanborn, Mr. Sanborn.
Mr. Sanborn, Mr. Sanborn. I want to go to school.
What is the matter with you?
I can't see.
How long have you been here?
I don't know.
Five years, Annie. You've been here 5 years, and now you've broken free. You've made your escape. The Black Maria is waiting to take you away from here. Now, say goodbye to those who remain.
Be a good girl and mind your teachers, Annie.
I will, Clara.
And don't tell no one you come from the poorhouse.
Oh, I won't, Granny Maggie.
Never mind the poorhouse. Never mind the poorhouse. Keep your head up. You're as good as any of them.
Yes, Clara. Write me a letter when you learn how.
I will, Tilly.
And I'll read it to you.
Goodbye, honey. Goodbye. Send me some tobacco if you can get a hold of it.
Yes.
Who taught you, Annie Sullivan? Who guided you toward light out of darkness? Who sharpened your appetite for foods you never tasted? Who gave you the thirst that only learning could quench?
3 times 3?
9.
3 times 4?
12.
Now do you think you could try it, Annie? Do you think you'd like to try the Bible in Braille yourself?
I would like to try. The Lord... voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth, even the Lord upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
What more is there, Annie? You can read and write. You can figure numbers and speak without stumbling.
The flight is over. The time come to rest. What more, Annie?
I want to see you with my eyes.
The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
I want to see.
She has walked into the darkness. She has parted the curtains of fear. She has crossed the threshold of pain. She is journeying in uncertainty. She is looking for the light. Now the moment has come. When the surgeons have done what man can do, the cutting with the knife, the lengthening, shortening, changing and repairing, the wrapping and unwrapping. Now the moment has come, and Annie Sullivan stands poised on the trembling edge of blindness. Open your eyes, Annie. What do you see? You see a room. You see a table in the corner of the room. You see a window, a sky through the open window. But everyone sees a room, a table, a window. Is there a window beyond the window that we don't see? What do you see, Annie, that makes you laugh with joy? Now let us celebrate the darkness and the light that came out of the darkness. Let us praise the day with the singing of our eyes. Let us revel in the green of the leaf, delight in the flight of the birds through the sky. Let us glory and rejoice and feast in our happiness and be content.
I want to teach the blind.
Now, how was man fashioned with restlessness, that in the midst of his feasting he should be hungry? How is his soul tormented with ambition, that the grapes of contentment sour on his tongue? How is he prodded with desire that dulls the relish of his senses? Have you not been locked in, Annie Sullivan? Have you not torn free, and should you not rest?
I will teach the blind.
Have you not wept and been afraid? Have you not been blind and in your ignorance deaf and dumb? Has not the time come to rejoice and to rest? To relish the sight of the earth and the sky and rejoice?
The deaf and the dumb and the blind. I will bring them sound and speech, and I will make them see. This I will do.
And Annie Sullivan went to where a child was suffering. And this child was deaf, and she was dumb, and she was blind. And she suffered with the anguish of something buried alive. She wept, and she raged, and she had no words to say what hurt her. And she could not hear the comfort of others, of her father or her mother. And she had no eyes to see their signs. And she was alone, and she raged. Like something buried alive, she mourns and she raged. And Annie Sullivan came to where the child suffered. She sought out the child in the darkness, and with her hands upon her, she led her out into the light. With her hands upon the child's, she spelled speech to her, and she taught her that there were words, and she used the words to teach her that there were sounds and sights. And to the child, Annie Sullivan brought the world she had found for herself. And then Annie Sullivan rested and rejoiced. For is not the child a woman now? And does she not praise the day with the singing of her eyes and delight in the green of the leaf? Was not her raging stilled with words? Did not sounds enter the grave of her deafness? Were not sights brought to her who could not see? Did not Annie Sullivan create a world for her who had no world?
If you would like a copy of today's anniversary script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Now we take great pleasure in presenting from Washington, D.C., the Honorable Arthur S. Fleming, Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare of the USA. Mr. Fleming.
This moving presentation of Annie Sullivan's ordeal enables us to perceive that the human spirit, supported by faith and empowered by courage, is indestructible. Annie's enduring hope, her persevering devotion to God, and her undeviating faith in His justice led her bravely through her childhood years of blind darkness. When at last, as if in answer to her prayers, her sight was restored, Annie Sullivan's mind and heart were endowed with an urgent sense of mission, something prouder than ambition, a commitment, a dedication to humanitarian service. "I will teach the blind," she said, "the deaf, the dumb. I will bring them sound and speech, and I will make them see." The subsequent years of her life are radiant testimony to her nobility of purpose. To her renowned pupil and friend, Helen Keller, who seemed doomed to dwell in soundless darkness, Annie Sullivan gave the gifts of communication and understanding. Through Annie Sullivan's force of character and skill, Helen Keller grew wise and serene and became an inspiring symbol of hope for every blind and sick and crippled person in the world. Annie Sullivan exemplifies the spirit, the will, and the devotion of the great teacher who rescues the child from the darkness of ignorance. She personifies humanitarian unselfishness for all those who work to ease the ravages of poverty and to prevent the encroachments of disease. She is the guide of those who labor to restore the crippled and the injured to valuable lives. Indeed, she serves as an inspiration to every man, woman, and child who strives to create a better and brighter world.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Light from the Darkness, was written by Sylvia Berger. It was the 11th in a series of 15 outstanding programs originally presented on the Eternal Light, recreated now to mark the Eternal Light's 15th year of broadcasting. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Patricia Wheel as narrator and Pauline Horn as Annie Sullivan. Others in the cast were Florence Williams, Connie Lemke, Fran Spania, Ronnie Gates, Iva Francis, and Roger DeCoven. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.